In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Luke chapter 16. The Gospel of St. Luke chapter number 16. The Gospel of St. Luke, Luke's Gospel, the great physician, Dr. Luke, his Gospel, chapter number 16. We ask that those who are physically able will stand with us for the reading of God's Word, the honor of God's Word. St. Luke, chapter number 16, we want to commence reading at verse number 19. St. Luke chapter 16, commence reading at verse number 19. Are you there? Amen. The word of the Lord reads thusly. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Bless those who read, hear, and apply God's holy word. Amen. For the time that is ours together today, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you from this thought one hell of a lesson. I want to talk to you today about one hell of a lesson. One hell of a lesson. Last year, comedian Lil Duval came up with this popular song called Smile. The number one lyric, the major lyric in this song was that I'm living my best life and I ain't going back and forth with you, you know what. I'm living my best life. And part of the plot to this song that Duval gives us is that you ought to live and be happy. Get yours, take care of your business. And matter of fact, one lyric in the song is to stick your middle finger up in the air and point that towards your haters, because you got so many haters, and keep on living your best life. Because you got too much to smile about. You've got some money, you've got some prestige. Lil Duval says that you living your life. Matter of fact, one of his lyrics, he's talking about you ain't got your bag. If I was in a different setting, I'd tell you what the bag is. That you've gotten your bag, because so many of us church folk have taken on this same mantra, that you tired of crying, you're tired of struggling, and you're focused on living your best life. And several of us got a big case that don't cares. You start focusing on you, yourself, and yours. You start worrying about helping folks. You start worrying about being compassionate, because nobody cared about your feelings. Nobody cared about what they did to you. And you start taking Lil Duval's song and Snoop's song, and you start saying you're going to start living your best life too. But what if I suggest to you this morning that you can live your best life in the worst way? That there is a bad way to live your best life. Because true living, my friends, has nothing to do with your possessions. True life has nothing to do with how many people call you friend. But true life, you have to discover, has to do with your walk with the Almighty God. And whether or not you have been able to accomplish and obtain the abundant life that Jesus Christ came for. You see how you shut down right now? The reason you shut down, because you don't understand what life is all about. And many of us in the church for a long time still don't know what life is all about. If I was in the streets, I'd tell you that people have life and something else all mixed up, because we don't know what really life is all about. We think life is about accumulating wealth and accumulating stuff and having being the best and being the leader. But I need to talk to some people today who learn after enough tears and wears on your body that ain't what life is all about. But true life is just knowing and being at peace within yourself and knowing that God is still your God and being happy in the skin that you're in and being able to look at that man or woman in the mirror and being happy with what you see. But unfortunately, I'm talking to people this morning who have to learn one hell of a lesson. And we're in a society that has chosen to learn one hell of a lesson. We're living in a country who picked a president who is causing us to learn one hell of a lesson. Because we got life all mixed up and we don't know what life is really all about. Somebody came to church today sad because something's missing. Somebody came to church down because somebody hurt your feelings. But I want to talk to people who learn. I need about four, I'll make number five, that whether people love me or not, I still got the Lord. Whether I got money in my pocket, I'm still blessed. I don't need to have as much stuff as I used to have a smile on my face, because that stuff can't save me. That stuff can't keep me, but I know a God who has been a keeper on my worst day, he was still there. On my best day, he was still there. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. He's my friend and he's my guide. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus, and I found out that if I trust him, he will provide. Can I tell you today, y'all, that there's a difference between living and existing? When you're existing, you are a robot and your heart just beating and you just going about your normal daily routine. But when you living, stuff hurts you, but you keep on going. You take a licking and keep on ticking. You suffer stuff, but you stand strong in the word of God. But unfortunately, y'all, we until we get the lesson, we can't graduate. And there are times that your God and my God will teach us lessons, and he'll use hell to teach you and I some lessons to know what life really is all about. Because the Lord knows that somebody showed up today frustrated about something they can't change. Somebody showed up down behind something they can't do nothing about. Somebody showed up frustrated and hurt by people who really don't mean them any good in the first place. And you and I have got to learn one hell of a lesson. Because we got it mixed up and we've taken our eyes off him and put our eyes on our circumstances and our eyes on our possessions and our eyes on people. And we've lost our relationship and walk with God. Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus decided to teach his disciples and teach his Pharisees, these Pharisees in this assembly. He teaches them about personal wealth versus a pious relationship with God. He emphasizes in verses 1 through 18 that money don't make you. You make money. And that sometimes if you're not careful, you can be possessed by your possessions. You see, the disciples had to learn how to live every day preparing for an afterlife. The Pharisees were trying to be slick. They were trying to have God and money. You're trying to worship God and the job. You're trying to see if you can fit both of them into your schedule. And Jesus came to teach these Pharisees, and he came to teach you and I that you got to choose one. You either go serve the Lord or you go serve the stuff. You go serve the position. You're going to serve the job or the career or being family oriented or being a traveler. He says, because one can't do what the other wants to do. There's no room for two masters. There's not room for two gods. And somebody today has got to make up their mind and heart which one you're going to choose. Either way it go, make a choice and stay on that side. You can't serve the Lord and never pray. You can't serve the Lord and never read the word. You can't serve the Lord and you're working every day. You can't serve the Lord and you're getting money. You can't give God and you're chasing paper all day. You're worshiping money, worshiping stuff, worshiping success, and your soul is in trouble. And so Jesus teaches people who got the face like y'all got, who think that they can fit everything in and think that God wants you to have. And yes, God does want you to have, but God don't want you to have everything. All right. Some money ain't good money. Some jobs ain't the job for you. Some relationships are the relationships you ought to get in. But if you're not careful, you'll lose your mind and get caught up on that stuff and not be caught up on the God who provided for you. All right, what am I saying to you? You come to church and ask God to provide you with an income and a job. God does that. You no longer come back and tell God, thank you. You just now put all your effort in the income and the job. That's worshiping the stuff. That's not worshiping God. So this is what Jesus does. If I had time, I'd go through the whole chapter 16 with you, but y'all ain't got time for that. And so I just go and cut across the field, and I go to verse number 19. Verse number 19, Jesus does not give a parable. This is a lesson. He's still teaching. We don't know when this incident happened. We don't know when this took place, but this is not a parable because he's not using natural phenomenon. He's not using farm, agriculture, or tools. This is a story about life and the choices people make. It's a story. Y'all got a little time to talk about it? It's a story of two lives, two deaths, and two hereafters. It's a story of two lives, two deaths, and two hereafters. In this one hell of a lesson, Jesus decides to teach all of us today. Y'all got a little time. He says, in this discourse, there is a certain man. Now, people tried to give him a name, Divus or Divus. They tried to give this rich man a name, but he does not have a name. We don't know his name for sure. We just know he's a rich man. He's rich because he got stuff. According to man's standards, he is rich because he wears purple. Now, you got to understand, in the day of Jesus, you dye your clothes purple to show how royal and great you are because purple is a sign of royalty and class. And so he purchases purple linen, and he has the best of everything. When I tell you this brother is a bad man, when I tell you he living high off the hog, when I tell you he got some money, creature comforts, cars, clothes, and all kind of stuff, he got it all. And the Bible says that he eats sumptuously. He eats all day, every day. Now, here's the problem. He had to work to get that. It took a lot for him to be able to get that purple linen, those fine clothes, this nice house with a gate, to be able to have the best of foods where he could eat all day, every day, anytime he got ready, because he worked for that. And that's many of us today. You feel like you earned it, you can enjoy it. And you can. But when do you get to the point where enough is enough? What is the limit on when you learn how to live comfortably instead of trying to be a big shot? Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble already. This man does not have a name, but he's known by his wealth. He's known by his status. He's known by what he got, but nobody knows him. Let me help you. He's a Jew. He go to church. He go to church and could end up in hell. He's a Jew. And I'm going to prove to you in just a few moments how I know he a Jew and know better just didn't choose better. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. But he goes to church and still go to hell. Because Old Testament teaches you. It shows us. You got to read the Bible beneath the surface. If you look at the Bible topically, you'll see that God, it'll make it appear that the only sign of blessings is stuff. Okay, what do I say? I say, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have land and possessions. Moses, I'm going to give you, tell my children, I'm going to give you the promised land. Joshua, you're going to be able to take Canaan. David, I'm going to give you riches. Solomon, I'm going to give you wisdom and riches. The Old Testament makes you think that the only way you blessed is by having wealth. And this man takes this what he hears and what he thinks and what people say and figure he blessed because he got stuff. But Abraham had to have faith in God to become the father of nations. Joshua had to be strong in the Lord to be able to possess Canaan. David had to be a man after God's own heart in order to be a great king. Solomon had to have wisdom from God to be able to have all the riches. But many times, people want the wealth but don't want to worship God. Because we just want to be blessed with stuff and not be blessed in our soul. And the first lesson we learn, brothers and sisters, is the insufficiency of stuff. The insufficiency of stuff. Now, mind you, his stuff ain't the reason he's finna go to hell. The fact he don't love the Lord is why he go to hell. Lord, it's not a sin to have stuff. But when you neglect God in place of stuff, that's what gets you in trouble. Look what happens. He's in his own house, minding his own business, getting his stuff, living high off the hog, all this wealth, all this stuff. And he seemed to be a pretty nice guy. We don't see him by being mean, but his heart ain't right. And listen to us today. When somebody gets something, you got blessed with something. You call people who got stuff blessed. You sure blessed, you got that money. You sure blessed, you got that house. A true blessing would be I get a house and no mortgage. Lord. It's a provision to have a car with a note. It's a provision to get a house with a mortgage. But a blessing would be I get that car and it'd be debt free. Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. But because we have such a topical thought process about God, and we base it on stuff, just like this man does, he figured he blessed because he got stuff. And someone in this room right now has been frustrated with God, has been pouting because you ain't got stuff, and you feel you're not blessed because you ain't got stuff.
You're not wealthy. You don't feel like you're blessed. You're still single. You don't feel like you're blessed. You sick sometimes, and you feel like you're not blessed. And you look at people who got what you've been asking God for, and you feel like they're the ones blessed, and you're cursed. Because you have no outward sign of God. Because we're still in a culture or society that has to see signs and wonders to know there's a God. Many of us have potted with God, got frustrated with God because I didn't get the money. I didn't get the raise. I didn't get approved for the loan. I had to file bankruptcy. And now when the world looks at us as though we're cursed, you're not blessed because you ain't got nothing to show for it. All this Bible reading, what you got to show for it? All this worshiping, what you got to show for it? All this speaking in tongues and being faithful and giving into ministry, what you got to show for it? You're still struggling. You're still in the projects. You're still in an apartment. You ain't blessed. What kind of God let you suffer like that? May I suggest to you something? That you don't start living till you die. And I'm glad you look confused. I'm going to tell you in just a minute what's going on. I told you it was two lives, two deaths, two hereafters. Oh, Lord. At the gate of the rich man's house is a man named Lazarus. Lazarus' name means God is my helper. Lazarus' name symbolizes poverty, that he needs something, that he's struggling. Lazarus, by his name himself, symbolizes a struggle. And you need God to help you. He's being brought every day to the rich man's gate. He's being brought to the rich man's gate. Y'all missed it. He's being brought. We don't know who bring him. But he's being brought to somebody who can help his situation. And every day, this is how we know this rich man don't have God, because how can you see somebody struggling at your gate and you do nothing to reach out and show that you care about them? And that's how you know if people saved or not. It's not by how much they shout. It's not by how anointed they are, but can they show love and can they show compassion? Can they care about somebody who's in difficult shape, somebody who's at their gate? That's how we know this rich man ain't saved. Because you're going to let somebody show up at your gate where you can't deny you ain't seeing. Lord. And pretend as though you don't see him at your gate struggling. He's brought to your gate because you're the one who can help him. But you're so insecure about losing your stuff, you pretend you ain't seeing him at your gate. Don't even have a conversation with him. Because you're afraid he gonna ask you for something. And you're so worried about your stuff and your wealth that you won't even have dialogue with people because you don't want nobody asking you for nothing. They got two legs, just like me, they can go and work and get it, like I got it. He's at the gate. Lazarus is poor. He's called a beggar, not because he's begging for stuff, but because of his condition. He's called a beggar. In this day, a beggar ain't one who acts. A beggar is based on your condition. And he's got physical problems. He's got sociological problems. He's got psychological problems. And the only people who show they care is some dogs. The only comfort he gets is when the dogs lick the sores. How degrading must Lazarus' life be that the only people who will come to you, the only ones who will come to you, is some dogs. And the only comfort he gets from the struggle of his life is the dogs licking the sores. That's the only way he's made to feel better. Dogs come and lick the sores. that you think you're struggling because you got a past due bill. You're struggling because you got an F on a test. You think you got it bad because somebody broke up with you. Ain't no dog. The only people, only thing that care about you is some dogs. But what we understand, and says Lazarus says that he'll be happy with crumbs from the rich man's table. Which means that not only is this rich man rich, wealthy, got it all made, he's pretty wasteful. For it to be crumbs seen on his floor. Y'all don't mind if I take my time with this text, do you? It's crumbs on the floor. He's wasteful. What we waste, somebody wish they had for a meal. What you count as nothing, somebody thinks it is everything. What you complaining over, somebody praying for. He'd be happy with a crumb because it's better than what he's dealing with now. He's at his gate, which means he knows the direction to the rich man's house, which also means that this rich man know where Lazarus come from. He know who brought him. He know how he got there. And he probably went to church with him. Got in church and shouted with him. Said amen with him. But when he left the doors of the church, he went back to his gate in his house and bypassed Lazarus. The insufficiency of stuff. Here's the problem, y'all. Two lives, two deaths, two hereafters. I've kind of given you a snapshot of two lives. But you got two deaths. Bible says both men die. Lord, help you missed it. Rich man dies. You got your Bible open still? Verse 22, and it came to pass. Lord, have mercy. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels. Wait a minute. The only folk came to him in his struggle was dogs. God had earthly angels positioned for him, but the earthly angels was too deep. Too important, too rich to fool with him. But when he died, God still sent some angels to carry him to his paradise. Don't you love a God that give you raw treatment even though you've been through hell? That God still do enough to send some angels to you, to your situation in the midnight hour where people don't want to fool with you, where nobody want to fool with you, when you're struggling with life itself, but God say, I got some angels all night, all day. The angels keep watch over me. Here's the problem people got with angels, and here's the problem you got with your angels. You can't see them, so you act like they ain't there. But I dare some believer right now to take 15 seconds and thank God that there's some angels that are watching over you as you sit in this holy place. There are some angels at your house. There are some angels at your job. There are some angels at the bank. There are some angels at the hospital watching over you. How do I know that, preacher? Because you're here right now with a reasonable portion of health and strength, clothed in your right mind. You ought to tell the Lord, thank you for some angels. I want to bless you. Let me bless you. The angels come because Lazarus is a praying man. And when you pray into God and you pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord dispatches angels over your situation. But if you don't pray, he won't dispatch. People been carrying him to a gate for nothing. Angels carry him to God for everything. Y'all missing God. Let people keep treating you any kind of way. Don't get too messed up about folk bypassing you and stepping over you. There are some angels ready to carry you to your future, ready to carry you to your destiny, ready to carry you to your elevation. You don't need man to validate you, but there are angels that God has positioned to take care of you. But in the midst of this, somebody got to learn a hell of a lesson. Don't shout yet. Because the Bible says, Luke says, both men die. One get carried, other one get buried. Have I left the Bible? One man get carried. Wait a minute now. We don't know if they got shot. We don't know if one got sick and died. We don't know how they died. All we know is they died. But what we do know is one man got carried and another man got buried. Woo! Why he get buried? Because he didn't understand prayer because he wasn't saved. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me the blessed man? The blessed man, the prosperous man, the man with all the money, the man with all the creature comforts, the man with all the food? He died? I don't want to worry about the burying yet. How he died? What did he die for? And he got all this stuff. Y'all missing God. All the money he got, he still died. Big old house, he still died. Everybody calls him sir and mister, he still died. He gets put on a pedestal on earth, but he still died. And the best he got was a burial. And y'all, here's your shout. No, you ain't gonna shout on this. The Bible don't record that anything got buried with him. All he worked for couldn't go to death. All he had to be good and pretty for couldn't help him when he died. All the money he got wasn't enough money to stop him from dying. His big old house couldn't protect him from dying. It don't matter how much of a big shot you are, all of us gonna have to face death one day. And he couldn't take none of that stuff he lost his life for. All that money he got, he died. And all they gave him was a burial. We don't even say nothing about a funeral. Your Bible say anything about a repast? Your Bible say anything about a wake? You hear anything about in lieu of flowers? You hear anything about a hearse or a limo? Negroes fighting over the family car. Who go get in the front? Who go get in the back? They buried him. Do you hear as I knew him? Do you hear a resolution? Because what else do you do with something dead? But something that still got life, you carry. Lord have mercy. Y'all know this story. Rich man tells his wife, when I die, you put all my money in the grave with me. you better put that money in the grave with me. The wife said, okay. And she writes him a check and put it right there in the grave with him. And when he cash it, he can get his money. But by the time he tried to cash it, there is no check cashing place in hell. There is no credit union in Hades. Parents, you ought to be insured and have something prepared for your children so they won't fight and so it won't be no trouble when you have to be buried. But the best posterity you can leave is a walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You leave them with money, but don't leave them with ministry. Both of them die. Death don't care how rich you are. Death doesn't care how pretty you are. Have you not learned? Death don't even care how young you are. They cut out graves for children, adults, black or white. Black folk die, white folk die. Straight people die, homosexuals die. Baptists die, Catholic die, atheists die. And too many of us living as though we ain't gonna die. Only way you ain't gonna die is the Lord come back first. Amen. And we don't know when that's gonna be. So we ought to be preparing ourselves at any moment for him to come back. And it's a frightening thought that you're working so hard, you're worrying about your money, worrying about your children, worrying about looking good on Facebook, but your soul ain't saved. You ain't got no relationship with God. And you're not trying to make sure your family got a relationship with God. Working to make a living. And when you die, you have to leave all that. Now, let me say this about to the broke people today. That being broke don't make you saved. That don't impress God. I ain't got nothing. That don't mean you saved. Sometimes you broke because you don't manage money right. But that's not a sign of your salvation. There are some rich, wealthy people who are very philanthropic, who do a lot for the cause of the kingdom. And God keep blessing them when it comes to those finances. All right? So that's not the sign of being a sinner or a saint. It's about what's on the inside, and it's going to show. Lazarus ain't saved because he broke. He's saved because he knows Jesus. Whether he broke or rich. The rich man is not a sinner because he got money. He's a sinner because he trusts the money more than he trusts God. So don't go lie and say that the only way you can be blessed is to be broke. The devil is a liar. Because how else you going to make it without some money? You can ask the Lord to send manna to the light office. You can ask him, I don't know if it'll work, but ask him to send manna over there. They don't have no manna envelopes to deposit. And I'm going to tell you the truth. The church ain't got, this don't say nothing about manna. Check, money order, or cash. Don't put manna in here. Okay? Now, money is not the root of all evil. Paul said that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not wrong to have money. But it's wrong when money got you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So just call somebody got something. Don't be going to call them a sinner. Look at you. No, don't call them a sinner because they got stuff. That's not wrong. That's not what God is saying. But when that's all that can be said about you is your stuff. But look what happens, y'all. They die. So that means that the stuff is insufficient because no one asks them about their stuff when they die. But everything they did on this world, prepared them for their death. There's no more chance to do anything about where you go after you die. You prepare for death while you live. Jesus actually tells the Pharisees in chapter 16, God lets you have money to see how ready you are to die. What you do with the possession shows who's your God. Got quiet again. That's why God gives you money. That's why God gives you stuff. That's why God gives you stuff, lets you have it, to see if that's going to separate you and him. But now, don't get it twisted. Y'all tell him I said it. You might want to tweet this. God didn't put Lazarus in heaven. Lazarus put himself in heaven. And God didn't put the rich man in hell. The rich man put himself. The insufficiency of stuff. Secondly, your soul is immortal, meaning that it lives beyond this life. Your soul, your psuche, your soul, the innermost part of who you are, goes somewhere. Your body goes to the graveyard, but your soul goes somewhere. According to this passage, your soul goes somewhere. And your soul is immortal until the Lord comes back and he's going to put us back, according to what Paul says in Revelation, he's going to put us back. We're going to get back in our bodies. Soul will connect back with flesh. We're going to go see Jesus for the saved. Then those who are unsaved, they go get their body, go get back their spirit and soul, and they go into a lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. So your soul ain't dead when your flesh die. See, I'm trying to teach y'all. You got to want to learn a hell of a lesson. See, y'all don't know nothing. We keep talking about, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. I want to go down there. I want to go up there. If you go say, I want you to know what you're talking about. So Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. You got to understand why Abraham is mentioned here in Luke. Abraham is mentioned here in Luke because he's the father of the Jews. And so if you see Abraham, you ought to know you see God somewhere. And the Bible says that he's in his bosom. In other words, he's in his lap. He leaned over because the Jewish way of showing favor and love and happiness is when they would lie down and recline on each other and being like it right there holding each other close to the breast. That is a sign of fellowship, love, and joy. And Lazarus found himself, his soul, his what? His soul, not his flesh, is in Abraham's bosom, the father of the faith. So we can call that paradise. We can call that in the presence of the Lord. But two deaths, right? Let's see what happens with the rich man, where he go. He goes to, now, we hear it as Hades, or hell, but it's actually Hades, the Greek word Hades, the place of departed souls. Hades, it's not hell that you go see that lake of fire, but it is a place of torment. It is a place of misery. It make it feel like you on fire. Some of y'all are in Hades now. You ain't on fire, but because you out of order with God, you feel like you on fire. And that's why some of y'all don't have no peace in your mind, don't have no joy in your heart, because you're living in a personal Hades. Because you're in a departed place. So you try to fix it with alcohol, drugs, lascivious behavior, promiscuity, job, money, to fix it because you're in your own personal torment. You can't face yourself. You don't like looking at yourself in the mirror. You can't deal with nobody because you're in your own personal Hades. And here's the hurting part. It's a choice you made. So the rich man now decides to cry out to Abraham. Abraham, father. Father? What you mean, father, Abraham? Y'all, have we heard the rich man say anything yet? Now he getting Hades, he wants to start talking. Here's why I'm going to stop bothering y'all about praising God and giving God glory. Some going to make you talk one of these days. Some going to make you open your mouth one of these days. Some going to make you lift your hand one of these days. Because my Bible said that they're going to come where every knee go bow and every tongue go confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So sit there stuck up. Sit there with your chest out. Your day coming. Now, I just don't know which side you're going to be on. Keep talking about it. Don't take all that. Mess around and get Hades in you. Mess around and life get too hot on you. You'll say something. You ain't going to be too cute when you go through hell. You ain't going to be too proud when you're going through hell. You ain't going to be pompous when you go through hell. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Oh, no other help I know. Your day coming. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. That means you knew you've been in Sunday school. You sat in Bible study. You sat in church. And you would not receive it in your heart because how you know Abraham is a father? How you know right and won't live right? How you know better but won't do better? You wait till you get in hell and want to have heaven. You get in jail, pray for me. Nice, Father Abraham. Look what he does. This joker crazy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He don't get it. Abraham don't have mercy. God has mercy. But all he see is Abraham. Ooh, y'all missed it. And so that's what's wrong with the church. You see church folk, pray for me. But Abraham had to see God for himself. The pastor got to see God for himself. You better know the man that the pastor know. You better know the man that the deacon know. Stop asking people for mercy and get yourself right with God. Have mercy on me. Look how crazy he is. Send Lazarus. How you know his name? Now you got all this knowledge of what the situation is. You know God people. When you get in Hades. Because your soul is the inner seat of your emotions and feelings. It's the real you. Ooh, Lord. And your soul having to deal with a choice your body made. Because you wouldn't bring your soul under subjection. You shouted, but you wasn't shaped. You cried, but you wasn't changed. You holler, but you won't help nobody. Oh, Lord. I got to get out of here. Let's see. Don't let me get lost, Lord. Help me now. Help me get out of here, Lord. They're looking at me crazy, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. This man crazy, y'all. The rich man crazy. He crazy. But he still, you can tell, he ain't right. Because watch what he does. Send Lazarus to me. You mean you in hell and you still arrogant? You still think somebody ought to serve you and you in hell? And I look at some of y'all coming to this church with these arrogance. Like, God ought to be glad. If I was some of us, I'd come to this altar before somebody even asked me to come to the altar. Send Lazarus to me. Here's the problem. He did already. He sent him to your gate every day. But you don't pay him no attention till you see him in Abraham's bosom. Goes even further. How detached from reality he is. Send him to me and let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. But y'all, this is Hades versus paradise. This is no, you ain't got no tongue. You're not thirsty. This is no physical place you're in. Y'all follow me so far? It's one thing to be, because see, when Lazarus was hungry, you could have gave him bread. Because that's physical means that shows how you feel on the inside. But now you're in a place where there is no water. There's no tongue. But your own personal torment got you thinking this is natural. And too many of us try to fix your spiritual problems naturally. You're suffering, so you go get money. You're lonesome, you go get with a bad relationship. But some stuff ain't natural. Some stuff is spiritual. Look what Abraham said. And Abraham, you know, I tell you what. No, because he said, I'm tormented in this place. In this flame, I'm tormented. But Abraham said, son. Oh, that's low down. You're wrong for that, Abraham. Now I done called you father. You won't come over and get me or nothing. And you gonna call me son. That lets you know once again, you sat down and had the opportunity to hear this. He said, son, remember, in your lifetime, while you were living, you had it made. You had everything you wanted, you living it up, living your best life. I ain't going back and forth with you. Put your fingers up in the air and wave at your haters like you know. I mean, the food stamp line. All that, right? Living it up. Put your finger up now. You was putting your finger up at Lazarus. Now you want Lazarus to put his finger in. You had it good, Lazarus had it bad. But tell somebody, tables do turn. You don't know who you bypassing. You don't know who you got your mouth on. You don't know who you denying and talking about. You don't know who you scandalizing, because my God got a way of turning some tables, and you don't know who you gonna need. The feet you stepping on are attached to or behind you at the kiss some time ago. Keep on just sticking your nose up because they don't meet your criteria. Keep on bypassing that alcoholic. He got more word than you in his finger, in his drinking hand. He got more word than you got in your whole body. Keep on. Because the tables can turn. He said, now he's at peace and you're in torment. But what you don't understand, rich man, is that he was never in spiritual torment. I kept putting him to your gate so you could see your spiritual condition. I kept putting him to your gate so you could see yourself. God says, I'm you as the rich God. And I kept putting Lazarus in your life at the gate to show you your situation as it pertains to me. But you couldn't see past your stuff. He said, but then ultimately, he said, no, you chose this. In the words of Bruce Triplett, that's your baby, I'm going to let you rock it. That's your baby. I'm going to let you rock it. You make that bed, you got to do what? But he says, furthermore, there is a gulf or a chasm, C-H-A-S-M. Some of your Bibles may say chasm there. There's a chasm between us and you. There's no water. You ain't no boat for you to sail across. Ain't no boat for us to sail across to you. You're stuck there. We're stuck here. You couldn't get to us if you wanted to. And we ain't coming to you because we don't want to. That's a word for somebody. Y'all, that is a word. Y'all better stop leaving paradise to go get people in hell who made a choice to live in hell. And you're going to try to get yourself in a gulf. You're going to try to go save somebody. It's Jesus' job to save folk. And they had just as much choice as you had to hear God. They know just like you do that Jesus is the Son of God. They didn't want to hear it. And you going to sacrifice your paradise and go get somebody from hell? Hell no. You got to collect call from hell. They call back because it's your son that you love so much. I love you. This bae that you want to have, this bae, you love bae. Y'all missing it. We're not talking about the living now. We're talking about hereafter. Ain't no movies to go to with bae. Ain't no more Red Lobster and going to Chili's. This is my son. This is my son. Because when it comes to the soul, ain't nothing you can do about that. It's too big a chasm. It's too much separating you and hell for you to even go. And it's too hard for them to get to you. Y'all didn't like that. Y'all know y'all weren't going to like that point. I knew you weren't going to like that point. I knew you weren't going to like it. Because you're going, that's why you ought to help them while they yet live. And once you have shown them Jesus, you have met and lived Jesus in their presence, you have fulfilled your spiritual requirement to those individuals. I told my mom and daddy I did what I could for y'all. When y'all went to sleep, don't y'all come bother me in my dream. I ain't seen either one of them since they've been gone.